It's an Italian girl by the name of Chiara Odano. She was born in the 70s. And as a young girl, a teenager, she was quite popular among her friends, quite academically gifted, a very spiritual young lady. She had a bright future looking ahead of her, until one day she was playing tennis and was experiencing some pain in her shoulder. She had it checked out, and after several consultations with various doctors, she got the horrifying results that she had cancer. Of course, it was a crushing blow to her, to her family, to all who loved and cared for her, that she'd have to undergo all these treatments, and particularly during her high school years. One of the things that happened in Chiara's life is that as her body physically became more and more weak and the cancer seemed to be winning that battle, something else happened. Her spirit just tended to grow much more stronger. She had a joy about her, a sense of hope, a peacefulness. Ultimately, she did die from the cancer. But the last words that she said to those around her were, "Be joyful, because I'm joyful." You know, in our world today, and I think just part of our innate wiring as human beings, we're somewhat programmed to be seeking out happiness, aren't we? We look for things that give us meaning, things that provide us pleasure. But joy and happiness are not exactly the same thing. Happiness often can be confined to a fleeting moment, a passing pleasure. Last weekend, I was feeling really, really happy as it appeared that the Ravens were going to beat the Chiefs. Because everybody was saying they didn't have a chance, and I'm watching them, it's like, they're going to run away with this. And they were winning the game until they lost it. And then I wasn't happy anymore. Had they won, I'd have been ecstatically happy. But you know what? Those things can never be the source of our joy, can they? Because they're unpredictable, they're unreliable. They're here today, they're gone tomorrow. And yet a lot of the things that we do in our lives are go towards those fleeting moments. They're not necessarily bad. They're not necessarily harmful. Spending time with friends, a family get-together, can be an occasion for happiness. But we also know when we get pulled out of that situation, maybe we're not surrounded by those people or getting those emotional highs, that then we're not so happy. Joy, on the other hand, is rooted in contentment. Joy provides an ongoing comfort. What's different about joy from happiness is joy is rooted in connectedness. Joy is rooted in relationship. We've all heard the old acronym, how do you spell joy? Jesus, others, yourself. Put yourself last, you spell joy. But what is it about the first two? The first is our relationship with Christ, knowing that we are loved, knowing that we are beloved, knowing that we are lovable, that God loved us so much that He sent His Son, even that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. We were called to relationship with God through the saving power of Jesus Christ. That's the essence of this season, isn't it? God loved us so much, He sent us a Savior. He took on our very flesh, became like us in all things but sin. But we know it can't be contained to say, well, God loves me, that's enough. We are creatures. We are created in the image and likeness of God, and we are called to community. Others play a role in our lives for good or for ill sometimes, right? But as we reach out in relationship, that feeds our joy. This past weekend, we fed over 70 families, helped over 70 families to be able to celebrate a good Christmas. I don't know who was happier at that prospect. The 70 families who came by or were delivered those packages that had food for their table for the holidays, or the volunteers who gave, collected, sorted, put together, and handed over those packages. Why? Because there's relationship. It was an expression of the relationship that we have for God. A reminder that one is loved, cared for, and beloved. You know, what is the root of sin? Think about it. What causes us to sin, or what are our occasions of sin? I don't know about you, but for me, oftentimes I look at it's when I'm responding to something that doesn't make me happy. Maybe I fly off and my temper gets the best of me. Maybe somebody doesn't do something I think they would and I grow impatient. Sin is often when we're not getting what we want when we want it. Or it's a disordered pursuit for happiness, going after that passing pleasure, isn't it? Letting off steam, a fleeting relationship, a temporary high. Those things that often can be self-destructive, but for the moment, they make us happy, right? Until they don't. Until we realize what we've done. Maybe whom we've hurt. The joy that Jesus talks about, the joy that we celebrate this season, the joy that we're called to, we hear over and over in the scriptures and in the music this weekend, we're called to rejoice because God's called us into relationship. And that joy isn't dependent on whether or not in one moment or the next that I'm just happy about what's going on around me. Let's face it. We can look around our world and find a million things that make us unhappy, right? Some of them may be in our very homes. Some might be in our communities, our nations, our world, the headlines, whatever. They can be disconcerting. But should that rob us of our joy? A teenage girl dying of cancer. One could say, what does she have something to be happy about? I don't know that she's necessarily happy, but she knew she had the love of Jesus. She had relationship with her family and support around her. She was able to latch onto that. That was her comfort in the midst of chaos. She had that joy, that serenity. Most of you know the story of St. Maximilian Kolbe, right? He was a priest in the death camp in World War II. He stands forward to take the place of another guy with 9 others. Who are being sentenced to death. They're going to be starved out, thrown into the bunker, left to die. The priest stands up, Maximilian says, let me take that man's place. He's married, he has children. I'm a priest, I'm single. There's no one depending on me like his family is. And they let him do it. They think he's a fool, they think he's an idiot. But what happened? He went in with those other 9. They were supposed to go in and starve to death. And what did they do in their last days? Father Maximilian Kolbe led them in prayer, led them in song, lifted their voices in joy. Was he happy about the situation he was in? Certainly not. But it didn't rob him of his joy. As a matter of fact, it didn't kill him. It sustained him. What killed him is they had to resort to an injection of carbolic acid. My friends, whatever it is that surrounds us that may cause us to be unhappy, don't let it rob you of your joy. As a matter of fact, look at those areas of our relationship towards Christ, towards others. If either of those seems to be deficient, chances are that's a cause of our unhappiness. Sometimes we say, well, it's just me and Jesus, and I'll tell Jesus what I want and He'll give it to me. But it can't be just me and Jesus. Or it could just be I'm going to serve others and others and others and others and be busy with activity. That may make us happy. It's not necessarily going to give us joy. It's when we keep those things connected. So as we're getting ready to celebrate the great feast of Christmas, God taking on our flesh, God giving us a Savior, let's focus on the joy that God provides by staying connected to the Lord, staying connected to others. Look at your relationship with others. Look at your relationship with Christ. And this week, look and say, what do I need to do to up it for either of those? To get through the idea of just being happy and holding fast to the joy that God gives. What's the scripture tell us today? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Amen. Amen.